11:34, this is RSN Central with Matt Nevitt this morning, and it's time to talk tennis with the Herald Sun's Mark McGowan, and there is plenty happening in the world of tennis at the moment right here in Melbourne and overseas as well, as qualifying for the Open has begun, and so too have a couple of lead-up events around the world. So it's great to have Mark McGowan from the Herald Sun on the line. Hello, Mark.
How are you, Matt? Thanks for having me.
Before we get stuck into the actual tennis, I want to ask you one question, and this is the question that I posed to the listeners this morning. Are you confident that the Australian Open will go ahead on February 8 here at Melbourne Park?
I am. I think they've come too far at this stage. They've gone to extraordinary lengths to make sure this happens. Obviously, as we know, it's been pushed back a few weeks from that normal mid-January start date, but it's unbelievable the lengths they've gone to. They've got obviously, guys coming in tomorrow, sort of 1,200 plus people from all over the world, seven different cities coming in on 15 charter flights. There's no going back at this point. Qualifying's begun. We're going to see it happen, but I think we're going to see a few little dramas along the way. But I think they've done a pretty amazing job to get it to this stage.
What about the fact that a player has already tested positive in qualifying for COVID-19? Does that highlight the challenges that are going to have to be faced by Tennis Australia in the coming weeks? And are they bracing for the fact that it's likely that there will be players coming to Australia that test positive when they arrive? Or do you think they can actually, I guess, avoid that altogether?
Yeah, look, it was definitely an interesting one a couple of days ago. There were actually two players. So Dennis Kudla from America, and then on the same day in Argentine, Francisco Cerundolo. So both of them won their first round qualifying games, qualifying matches, and then they found out afterwards, or in Kudla's case, right towards the end of his first match, that they tested positive to COVID-19. Now, they had actually tested negative to COVID-19 in their first two tests. That's the requirement. Before they leave their country, they have to test negative. Then when they arrive, they get tested again. Had to be quarantined in their hotel rooms, couldn't leave, couldn't get accreditation, couldn't practice until they returned that negative reading. They did that, had another test, tested negative again, and then the third time when they actually tested positive. So that's somewhat concerning because it suggests that they did not have the coronavirus on arrival in the country and they must have contracted it once they were there. So immediately that puts a spotlight on, I guess, the protocols on site. There's been a few issues there. There's been some suggestions that people who are at the hotel who aren't in that tennis bubble have gone into restricted areas. Now, that's obviously problematic. So there's going to be a few things they're going to have to tweak. But again, as I said at the top, these players won't be getting on the plane until they've tested negative. That is a requirement. They'll arrive in Australia tomorrow or from tomorrow. The first batch will arrive at 5 p.m. tomorrow in Melbourne. And then from there, they have to get tested again, and then 14 days of mandatory quarantine. They're going to be tested every single day of that period. They can't do much more. I think they've done all the safeguards they can. The risk is being absolutely minimised. I'd imagine we're going to get through okay, but as always, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, it's a fine line, and I agree with you. I think Tennis Australia and the state government are doing everything possible to get this up and running. And I'm confident as well, Mark, that it will be going ahead on February 8th. Just talk to me a little bit about the Australians in qualifying at the moment. There's so many over there performing and performing well that I can't keep up with it all. But who have been the standouts over the last couple of days and who is still a chance of qualifying for the Open from an Australian perspective?
Well, we started the qualifying draw with 20-odd Australians. That's now been whittled down to three. So we're into final round qualifying from about 5 o'clock tonight. And we've got three Australians in the mix, and all men, all the women are out, one of them being Bernie Tomic. So that's going to keep the interest from even your casual observer. Everyone knows about Bernard Tomic and has their opinion on him. He's going to play a fellow Australian, John Patrick Smith, in the final round. So that means we're guaranteed at least one qualifier. The third Australian is Dane Sweeney, a teenager. He actually benefited from Dennis Kudla's case that we touched on just before. He obviously tested positive for COVID-19 after winning his first game. So that meant that Dane Sweeney got a free pass right into final round qualifying. So an unbelievable opportunity for him. His ranking is somewhere in about 800 in the world. So he wouldn't have dreamed of being in this position. It would have just been about the experience for him. But suddenly, he's one win away from the main draw. So we're guaranteed to have at least one more Aussie in the main draw. It'll be either John Patrick Smith or Bernard Tomic. And then obviously Dane Sweeney has a chance as well. So I think that's really exciting for Australia.
Where is Bernie at the moment? He's had a turbulent couple of years, no doubt. He finds himself in the news for more of the wrong reasons than the right reasons these days, Mark. But where's he at? How have his preparations been? And do you think he still has something to offer as a professional tennis player?
It's really difficult. I mean, he's an unbelievably talented guy, but at the same time, he's now 28, and he's 4 years separated from that career high top 20. The ranking's now in the 200s, and he really had to battle past a young Australian overnight. Faced a match point as well, and he was fortunate that the young player he played, Tristan Gulcate, who's a West Australian, double faulted on the match point he had, and Bernie was able to scrape through. So it probably suggests he's not at the top of his game at the moment. He's doing just enough to get through. You back him in to beat JP Smith, who's probably more of a doubles specialist, but he's also a handy singles player who's had good results over the years. But Bernie would definitely go in as favourite. Look, if he can just build some momentum, qualifies, gets a decent draw, he's a confidence guy. There's no doubt he's not going to be a Rafael Nadal type preparer. I think we're past those days. He is what he is, Bernie. But a guy who can be in the top 20 and he's still only 28. We're seeing a lot of players on the men's tour in particular going well into their 30s now. So Bernie still has a chance, and it's up to him now. He's got to take it seriously, but a lot of it's that confidence. So if he can win this match and qualify for the Australian Open, I think he can really build some momentum and hopefully get that ranking back towards double digits.
Yeah, that would be great to see. And it would be great to see a couple of Australians qualify for the Open, the main draw there of the Open in those overseas quests. And it was great to see Alex Diminor last night progress through to the final of that event in Turkey with a huge win over David Goffin. His preparations for the Australian Open have got off to a really good start.
Yeah, traditionally a really good performer in those leading events. He won in Sydney a couple of years back, I think it was. So he's just a guy now who is genuinely bona fide one of the best players in the world. He sits right just outside the top 20, but he's been in that top 20 before. I think he's primed for a really, really good year. No one works harder. We just touched on Bernie. Probably isn't his strength, his work ethic, but the super talent. But Alex Diminor's got both. He's a really talented kid. Doesn't have the huge weapons. He definitely relies on that work ethic and just grinding opponents down. And that's why he often gets compared to his mentor, Leighton Hewitt. But this is a guy who gives his absolute all. He's now the number one men's player in the country, and he's easy to get behind. And as you said, he's now into the final. Perfect preparation. He'll roll in and into Australia, playing the ATP Cup in the week leading into the Australian Open, and he'll be seated. And if he gets a nice draw, who knows how deep he could go.
Yeah, he's one of mine for sure. I want stocks in Alex Diminor because he's only 21 years of age, and I think it feels like he's been around for a lot longer, or it feels like he's been around for quite a few years because he broke onto the tour at such a young age, and he's going to be peaking when the likes of Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, and Murray, I know Murray's past it, but when they leave the tour, he's going to be coming into his own. So he's a real Grand Slam threat down the track, isn't he?
I think absolutely you have to give him a chance. The only worry is what I touched on earlier. He doesn't have the massive weapons of a Nick Kyrgios, for example, and some of these other sort of younger guys coming through. Even Dominic Thiem is still right up there now, and he should outlast some of those names he just rolled off there. So he probably needs to find a way to improve his serve a bit to get some more cheaper points. But in general, it's hard to pick faults with Alex. He does everything he can. He rolls into each season, and he seems to have added a piece to his game. And he's only going to get better, as you said. He's so young. As he gets more experience, more fitness, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, 100%. He is one to follow. You mentioned Nick Kyrgios. I mean, there's in Australian tennis, Nick Kyrgios and Ash Barty, there's no two bigger names right now. Where are they at with their preparations and where can we see them in the lead up to the Open?
Ash Barty is definitely going to play one of the WTA 500 events the week before the Australian Open. There's some suggestion that she might also take part in the exclusive Adelaide exhibition event, which is going to involve sort of only a top handful of women in the world and top handful of men as well. But that's still to be confirmed, but we're going to see Ash at least in Melbourne the week before. Nick Kyrgios, because he's now ranked the number three Australian man, even though most people say that on his day he's still Australia's best chance of a deep run in a Grand Slam, because he's number three, the way the ATP Cup rules work, he won't actually be seen in the ATP Cup, but he will play in one of the smaller events at Melbourne Park that week, one of the 250 events, which are sort of the lowest form of ATP events. But he'll get some good matches in there. There's a couple of top 20 guys in that tournament as well. So he'll get a good warm-up. Hopefully he can win a few matches and roll into the Oz Open. And he's a massive threat. Hasn't played a lot of tennis last year. Decided not to travel and play in the French Open and the US Open. But he's not a guy who needs much behind him. He's a confident player, super talent. He's going to be one that no player will want to face once the Australian Open kicks off.
Yeah, certainly can't wait to watch both Nick Kyrgios and Ash Barty in action here at Melbourne Park. When do the players arrive, the ones that are already in the main draw, Mark? When can we expect to see them landing in Melbourne?
Yeah, so 5 p.m. tomorrow is when they'll start to roll in, but it'll be over several days. As we talked about a little bit earlier, 15 charter flights coming in from 7 different cities across the world, which is an unbelievable operation. As I said, Tennis Australia has done a phenomenal job to get it to this point. They've had to jump a few hoops or come through a few hoops to get to this point, and Craig Coley and team have done a fantastic job. But they're going to start rolling in, and once they're in town, the tennis is really going to take focus, and we're only a couple of weeks away now, so it's going to be great to see tennis front and centre. Sport world in the capital city of sport in the world, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better myself. As a tennis lover, it is great to see, and I do hope the Australian Open gets up, because what a treat it is for all sports fans who have been starved in this great city of big sporting events over the last 12 months or so. And you're doing a terrific job with the Herald Sun, Mark. I've been loving your feature articles as well with those tennis players, those Australian tennis players. So keep up the good work, and we'd love to catch you on Central over the coming weeks as well in the lead-up to the Open.
Absolutely, no problems at all, Matt.
There we go. Mark McGowan from the Herald Sun. He's doing a terrific job there covering tennis